Welcome to the podcast, From Our Home to Yours, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
It's where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello again, ladies. I hope you have received your Above Rubies by now. The new magazine has been sent out across the nation. It's Above Rubies number 96. And I know you have already been blessed if you have got it. If you haven't got it and you're on the mailing list, well, it just may have gone astray. So don't hesitate to call. And if you are not on the mailing list, do contact us. You can email me at nancy@aboverubies.org, and send your name and address, and we'll be so happy to send it to you. I know you're going to be very blessed by this new issue that we have now sent out across the nation and are continuing to send out across the world. Some of you are listening in other countries and you have to wait a little bit longer for your magazine. But don't worry, it is on the way. All right, we started last week talking about how can we change the world. Yes, dear mother, you in your home, hidden away with your children, you can change the world. And we are looking at different areas of how we, even as wives and mothers in our homes, can change the world. Last week, we found out that God wants us not only to be courageous, but to be very courageous. He not only wants us to be righteous, but uncompromisingly righteous. He not only wants us to avoid evil, but to abhor and hate evil. He not only wants us to shine our light, but to greatly shine in this dark world. He not only wants us to be fruitful, but to be exceedingly fruitful. And this is how we change the world, not by being normal, not by being average, but being above the average, over the top, more than as usual. And so we're going to continue to find out more things in the Word of God that are more than the ordinary. And so we're now up to number six. No. Yes, it's number six, yes. And this one is, we are to not only be obedient, but the Bible tells us we are to be wholeheartedly obedient. You see, nothing in the Word of God is normal. It's all more than normal. Let's have a look at some scriptures, shall we? I'll read a couple from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 says, "If you shall hearken diligently," notice that, not just hearken, but "hearken diligently unto my commandments, then I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full." We go over to Exodus 15:26, and God speaks again, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." That phrase is the wonderful phrase, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. But these wonderful promises come when we diligently hearken to the Lord. Now, the diligently hearken in those scriptures is a very famous word. I'm sure you know it. I'm sure you've heard of the Shema. That is perhaps the most important scripture to the Jewish people in the whole Bible. And they call it the Shema. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This is what they call the Shema. Why do they call it the Shema? Because the very first word, hear, hear, O Israel, is the Hebrew word Shema. Now, what does Shema mean? It means to hear intelligently, to hear attentively, and with obedience, to give undivided listening attention. The Shema is not a casual hearing. It is a very intense hearing. We are listening with all our ears open, and what we hear, we're going to embrace and obey. Now, in Exodus 15:26, there were two words there about hearing and obeying. Firstly, Shema, and then secondly, if thou wilt give ear, that's another Hebrew word, azan, and it means pay attention with obedience. Very similar, but both of those Hebrew words include hearing and obeying. We truly can't really experience true obedience until we learn to really listen. Now, this applies to our own lives. It's only as we truly listen to the Lord, not listen just to hear some words, but listen to embrace and obey, that the word will become effective in our lives, or we will really receive the promises that the word gives. And so this is what we have to understand, lovely ladies, that obeying is combined with hearing. At the moment, I am reading a wonderful book. Maybe some of you have already read it. It's The Life Story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I've had it by my bedside for so long, and at last I'm getting to read it. I have so many wonderful books by my bedside. In fact, I have about three huge piles all waiting to read. Sometimes they wait for about a year before I get to them. I have so many books. But, oh, I am so loving this book about the life history of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a great theologian. He was a gifted theologian. But this is how he started out. And he learned how to dissect the word, and he was very intelligent theologian. But as he grew in God, he found that that wasn't the greatest way to really hear from God. He learned that the greatest way to hear from God was to receive. I love that. I've really been embracing that myself since I read it. And he said it changed his life. When he reads the word, well, he's passed on now. Of course, he was assassinated by Hitler. But when he read the word, he didn't read it to dissect it, to work it out, to kind of, you know, just see what does this really mean. No, he learned to read it and receive it. Just receive the words into his very being. He said, when somebody talks to you who you love, you don't dissect their words. No, you just receive them because you love them. And it's the same way with God. When we read his word, because we love him, we receive his words. We just let them come into us. And as we receive them into our being, we can obey them. And so this is how we have to have our Shema. Hear. That's the word. Hear. Hear with undivided listening attention, ready to obey. But ladies, not only do we have to get into the habit of making this our own lifestyle, we have to teach this to our children. In fact, I believe that one of the very first things that we ever teach our children is teaching them how to hear. Most people think, well, the first thing you have to teach your children once they have understanding is to teach them how to obey. Yes, that's a pretty important lesson and one we start pretty well very soon in their lives. But it's not the first lesson. The first lesson is how to hear. Because if we don't teach them how to hear, they're not going to learn how to obey. And so even with our little toddlers, and we're teaching them, and we have to first teach them this lesson. Let me give you an example. Perhaps you're going to teach your little child to put his toys away. So you say to him, Peter, I want you to put your toys away. Now, what did Mummy say? And you're going to get your child to repeat the words. So you know that he has listened to you. When you speak to him face to face. And this is important even with our older children when we're talking to them. We don't yell some command from in another room and tell them to do it because they may not have heard. We must always make sure our child hears what we say. Because if they hear, then we must expect obedience. Because that's what we teach them from the beginning. And so we talk to our little one. What did Mummy say? Put toys away. Okay, so now we do it. And so you teach them that the moment they have heard you speak those words, they've got to jump into action. You may have to help them do it at the beginning and you show them that this is what you do. The moment you hear Mummy speak, well, you do what she says. And so you gradually teach them this and you make sure it happens. It will take a little bit of practice, but every time you make sure they hear, you look into their eyes, you speak to them face to face, you can get right down on your knees to your little ones to talk to them, and they get it, and you get them listening with all their ears, and they hear, and then they obey. That is what true hearing is all about and what true obedience is all about. In fact, true hearing results in action. That's what we've got to get into our children. And then, of course, we teach them that they do it right away because delayed obedience is disobedience. Now, when God gave the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. It then immediately goes on to give a mandate because God is getting their attention and then he tells them this is what he wants them to do. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and then when thou risest up. There's also another word. Let's see, did I note it here? Yes, there's another Hebrew word that is very important regard to hearing. And that word is in 1 Samuel 15, verses 22, 23. And this is in the story of Saul. And when God told him to destroy all the spoil, but Saul didn't listen to the words of the Lord, he did half of it, or maybe 90%, but he kept some back. And that wasn't good enough, because God demands wholehearted obedience, complete obedience, not half-hearted or just halfway. And the prophet came to Saul and said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Because you will remember that Saul's excuse was, "Well, God, I didn't destroy all the animals because I kept some back for sacrifices." But that wasn't what God says. God said, "I want you to destroy all." And he went on to say, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery." Is that adultery? I think it's idolatry, isn't it? Yes. Anyway, that word hearken is the Hebrew word kashab, and it means to prick up the ears. Do you notice again this intensive listening, to prick up the ears, sharpening them like an alert animal? That's what happens out in the wild. When an animal hears a sound, his ears prick up. He's listening. You'll notice that even with your own dog. If you have a watchdog, they will hear a sound before you ever hear it, and their ears go up. They are listening. And this is the kind of hearing that God wants us to have. And it's all in the context of hearing and obeying. And so this is such an important lesson to teach our children. Young mothers, you're just in the throes of teaching your little ones and your bigger ones to obey. But hopefully you're doing a good job while they're little, so that as they get older, it will be part of their lives. It will have become their habit to obey. This is why it's so important to get it right when they're little, and to make sure you do it right by teaching them to listen, and then teaching them that when they hear you speak, they immediately obey. Because when your children learn to listen, they learn to obey. And when they learn to obey you, they learn to obey God. We're not only teaching them how to obey us, we are preparing them and teaching them how to obey God. Now, in the Bible, it talks about how two different kinds of ears. It talks about, in the New Testament, it talks about swift ears. James 1:19, "Let every man be swift to hear." That's that same kind of hearing, you know, alert, having the ears alert and ready and awake and listening. And then it also talks about dull ears, where Paul had to challenge the Hebrews, "You are dull of hearing." Now, darling ladies, what kind of ears are you training your children to have? Are you training them to have lazy ears, dull ears, defiant ears, resistant ears, gullible ears, or are you training them to have obedient ears? This is what we have to do, to give them this kind of training, which is so important. It's amazing, isn't it? How today, even in the church, there must be thousands and thousands and thousands of believers who go to church every Sunday. And I guess I have to put myself in this place too. It's easy for us all to do this. And we can hear a great message. It's powerful. It's challenging. And yes, we can even, we're listening and we can even get convicted about it. But we go out of church and nothing changes. Our lives don't turn around. We're still the same as when we come into church next Sunday. I wonder why that is. Is it because we have dull ears, resistant ears? Our ears have got into a habit of listening yet not obeying? That's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing in our walk with God. And it's amazing how we can hear so many wonderful sermons. They're all so powerful. They're all so good. And they should revolution our lives. And we hear them, but we don't really obey them. And is that a result of our training? That we've got used to hearing but not obeying? And so that's why we have to train our children. That they will grow up with ears that are trained to obey. Not only to obey us, so that when they read the word and when they hear the word at church, they will be responsive. They will immediately obey because that is the habit. It just goes along together with listening. So that's what we've got to get, lovely ladies. And that's the kind of hearing God wants us to have. Not just hearing, but wholehearted hearing, not just obeying when it suits us, but obeying wholeheartedly. That's the big thing, isn't it? Because it's easy to obey when it's easy to obey. We all do that when it fits in with our lifestyle, when it's easy, but when it's hard, when it cuts across our lifestyle, when it causes us to turn around, are we still willing to obey? That's the challenge. But may God help us to be those who wholeheartedly obey. All right, our next one is number 7. God does not only want us to read his word, but to be richly filled with his word. Here again, there's another adjective. Are you getting the picture, dear ladies? It's not just ordinary. It's always above the ordinary. We're not only to read the word of God, but to be filled with it. Not only filled with it, but richly, richly filled with it. Now, the word richly in the Greek is the Greek word plousios, and it means copiously, abundantly. Now, that's the opposite to scarcely, barely, isn't it? So, where are we, ladies? We'll start with our own lives first. How much does God's word fill our lives? And our hearts and our minds. Are we filled richly? Now, some of you may have little ones all around you and you say, well, goodness me, how on earth do you expect me to be filling myself richly with the word of God? I've hardly got time to pick up the Bible. Don't you know I've just got 4 little children under 4? Don't worry, I had 4 under 4. I had 3 under 3 at one time. And so I know what I'm talking about. I remember starting off in my young years, I came to the Lord as a child, but when I was 18 years of age, I completely and wholeheartedly dedicated my life to God and began to seek Him with all my heart. I began to set aside 3 hours a day to spend in the Word and with the Lord and in prayer. Those were glorious times in my life. But then I fell in love and got married. And then children came along. My first baby came along. And then, 17 months later, two babies came along. Surprisingly, I had twins. I didn't know till the very moment I had them. Now that seems hard to understand today, doesn't it? But way back in my day, they didn't have ultrasound. And my story was rather different. My husband and I were out on the mission field, and I conceived the twins while we were in the Philippine Islands. And I came back, and just before it was time to give birth to these babies, I was still thinking it was one baby, although I have to admit I wondered what I had inside me, because whatever was inside me was hardly moving. I don't think there was much room for them to move, and I realized I had something very big inside me, and I wondered, how am I going to get this baby out? Anyway, we got back from the Philippines to New Zealand, and I was 8 months, and I went to the doctor, and he said to me, well, everything looks fine, never detected twins. And he said to me, I'm off to England, so when you're ready, just go into the hospital. Back in those days, I didn't know anything about home birthing. So I went into the hospital on a false alarm. They still didn't detect twins. Can you believe it? I went back home again. And on my due date, I went in, started in labor. And while I'm in labor, the nurse is listening to the heartbeat with the old Doppler. And she said, that's strange. I can hear two heartbeats. Well, maybe it's just an echo. So we'll wait and see. So here I am. I'm in labor. I give birth to my daughter. That was Evangeline. And they felt my tummy. They said, yes, there's another one. And that was the first news that I had that I was going to have twins. And so about 5 minutes later, I gave birth to Stephen, her twin brother. And so that was all a great surprise. And so here I was now with three little babies in 17 months. My eldest was only 17 months. We'd just come home from the Philippine Islands. We were living out of suitcases, and it was pretty raw living. And I had no help, and oh my, I certainly wondered what was happening to me in those days. I was overwhelmed. I was so tired. It was like a pain. But I got through, and they were still wonderful days. Because things are difficult, challenging, painful, doesn't mean to say that they're terrible. They were glorious days, wonderful days. I'd go through them all again. And so, but I didn't have time. Now, here I was used to having 3 hours a day just in the presence of the Lord and in His Word. Now, all I had was three babies needing my attention from morning till night and through the night. And so I hardly had time to get into the Word. And so I had to learn to get what I could. And so I would put the Bible up on my windowsill above the kitchen sink at Psalms or Proverbs, where I could look up and just get a scripture. I'd have a Bible in the toilet. You do have to go there frequently. And there I could read another scripture, just getting something to fortify my soul and strengthen me. I could read maybe a little bit, perhaps, while I was nursing the babies. It was more difficult when I was nursing twins as well as watching a little 17-month-old. But I would just get the little bits as I could. But life was not all that season. That season passed. And then I did have four under four, and then others later. But still, as your children grow and then another one comes along, then you have older children who are able to help. And so you don't stay in that same overwhelming season. And then as time goes by, you can find more time, and you just try to grab those little times that you can. Some of you, your children are older. You've got more time to spend where you can get into the Word. I find a wonderful thing is having family devotions with your whole family. We have it morning and evening in our family. Right up to this day, we still do this every morning and evening. And even if I haven't been able, well, now, of course, my children are grown, and often I'll get up early, 5 or so, and just spend time in the Word. But perhaps even if I haven't done that, I'm not going to miss out, because every morning and every evening we're going to be sitting around the table listening and receiving the Word. And when my husband reads the Word, I open my ears and my heart to receive and just receive it into my soul so that it's dwelling in me richly. Now, it is so important to make this happen in your family, because not only is it important for you to get it, you have a responsibility to get the Word of God richly into your children's minds and hearts and mouths. We have the responsibility. It's not the Sunday school's responsibility or the church's responsibility. No, it is the responsibility of the parents. Perhaps you're already doing this, but if you're not, just seek to make this happen in your home and establish this. We have used different things over the years. When our children were teens, we would take a chapter of a book and read through a chapter every evening. Now we use the Daily Light. It's wonderful. I really recommend the Daily Light on the Daily Path, which is a devotional book which is only the Word of God. That's all it is. And it has scriptures for every morning and every evening. So it's so easy. If your husband is not familiar with taking family devotions or reading the Word, he never grew up doing this and it's foreign to him, well, this is the answer, because all you have to do is go to the date, open the book, and there's the scriptures. And there's not many, just a few. And so it's not too many for the family. You can get this book from my webpage, aboverubies.org. Just look up The Daily Light on the Daily Path, and you can order it. We love it. We use it every morning and every night. And my husband doesn't only read the scriptures. He asks questions. He keeps it exciting and alive. And this is very important to do. The latest copy of The Daily Light on the Daily Path that I have available is one that I put together about a year or so ago. And at the beginning of every month, it gives you ideas of how to make it exciting, how to keep your children on their toes, how to keep them alert as you read the scriptures. It's so easy for us to get into a dream. Even I can do this. In fact, even this morning, I got up pretty early this morning and came to devotion time, and I closed my eyes and was meditating on something my husband read, and I think I nearly went off to sleep. And my husband asked me a question. Oh, dear me. Sorry, darling, what was that? Can you please read it again? And I guess I would have just stayed in my dreamlike stupor if he hadn't asked me this question. And so I was pulled back into it again. But all of us can do that, and our children do it so easily. And so it's so good to ask questions and have ideas of things to do that keep your children on their toes. Sometimes my husband will read the wrong word. And if we don't notice it, he's saying, "Hey, were you listening? Did I read it correctly?" And he might have to read it again. And we've got to check what was the word he read wrongly. But that's just one little idea. We have so many different ideas that you can pick up to make it exciting in your family. But this is a wonderful way for you as a mother too to receive the word. And you're getting it into your children's lives. I'd love to ask you a question. Does God's word dwell richly in your children's lives? Or do they just have a little bit of it? Because I'm just so amazed that when I meet so many young people today who growing up in the church, they truly know little of the Word of God. They don't know much at all. It's scarce in their lives instead of it filling them richly. And this is our responsibility, both personally and then our responsibility as a parent to our children. So let's do it, shall we? Let's be families who fill our children richly, richly with the Word of God. And this is the same thought that comes out in the Shema. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says that we are, that's the next thing, after loving God with all our hearts, we are to teach His word diligently to our children. We're not only to teach the word to them, but to teach it diligently to them. The Amplified. It says, the Amplified version of Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 says, "You shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach them and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds of your children." Now, that's not ordinary teaching. That's intense teaching. Diligent teaching, to get it into them so it's penetrating into their lives. It's getting right into the very depths and making it part of them. What did Jesus say? He said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." It's not knowing some of the word, it's continuing in the word. All right. Next one. Number 7. We are to boldly proclaim God's truth. He doesn't want us only to speak out His truth, but to boldly speak out His truth. If we read through the Acts of the Apostles, I have listed here a load of scriptures, of examples of the early church and how they boldly spoke the word of God. And they did that in the face of persecution. Paul prayed in Ephesians 6:19, "That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And again, when he was writing to the Philippian believers, he says in Philippians 1, verse 20, and yet do we, wait on, what is it here? Have I got, oh, I better read it. I haven't written it down for you, so let me look it up here. Philippians. Let Ephesians, Philippians 1:20. All right. And it says, Paul speaking, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So here Paul is not only speaking boldly here, but he's saying that even in my body, that I will boldly proclaim Jesus and him crucified. And he was saying those words, and in the Acts, these early believers, they were all speaking out boldly, not in good times like we have here in America, where we have freedom to speak the truth and speak the gospel, but they were doing it in the face of persecution. Yes, they could lose their lives. They were ready to lay down their lives to speak the truth. And yet, we're scared and afraid to speak out truth, even to stand up for truth in a land where we have freedom of speech. Oh yes, we could receive ridicule, negativity, and perhaps maybe quite a bit of rejection. But what's that? We're not losing our lives. We're not suffering in torment. We're not in prison. We're not being tormented. We're not being tortured for our faith like so many millions of Christians are across the world. We think of North Korea, where there are up to 50 or even more million Christians who are in prison suffering and being tortured for their faith. We know nothing of that. And yet we stay silent. And we're trying to change the world. I beg your pardon. We're not going to change the world while we be silent. We're not going to change the world while we just speak amongst ourselves. No, we'll only change the world as we speak out boldly. When we are unafraid to speak out against that which is evil. Why are we being overpowered today? Why has abortion right up into the third trimester become legal? Why is homosexuality legal today? When you think about it, how can it even be? And yet it has happened in our society today. And yet these people are a minority in our society. And yet they have changed the laws of our land. Why? Because they speak out boldly. And now they are changing completely our education system. This whole homosexual agenda is now in our schools, right even in our early grades. They have it in the system. Dear ladies, you've got to get your head out of the sand. Yes, it's in our education system today. At the end of last year, Colin and I were speaking at Above Ruby's family camp. We had two high school teachers there with their families. And these were homeschooling families, but both these men were teachers at high schools. And one brother got up and he said, please pray for me. I am in a high school where I am the only Christian. And the agenda of the school is completely to the left and extreme socialism. He said the transgender agenda is to be... motivated. In fact, he has two students in his class who are changing from one gender to the other, and he is expected to applaud them and have the class applaud them and encourage them in what they are doing. Now, and he said that he is not allowed, they're not allowed in his school to use the personal pronouns of he and she. And this is happening all over the nation. And how is this happening? Because these people are speaking out boldly, even though they're a minority. Why did the early church turn the then known world upside down, the Bible says? Because they were not afraid to speak, even though they did it knowing they could be killed. They were laying down their lives. What does it say in Revelation 12:11? That they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Well, it's easy to say that scripture, isn't it? We're not facing that at this time. We don't know what's ahead in the future, but may God help us to be strong. May God help us to be bold now while we have time, while we have a season when we can speak freely, even if we're ridiculed, even if people say things against us. That's not losing our lives. Goodness me, really, let's be ready to speak out. I am amazed. At our Above Rubies retreats, we always have a special session. It's the last session of the retreat, and we open it up for testimonies. It's one of my favorite times, and it's so amazing to hear the glorious testimonies of so many women and what God is doing in their lives and changing them. I sit back amazed sometimes as women who have been extreme feminists now share how God has changed them and they're back in the home and embracing children. Nothing is impossible to God. He does such wondrous things. That's why, lovely ladies, when you take out Above Rubies, and I hope you take out the Above Rubies magazine, maybe you only get one copy just for yourself. Oh my, do you think you could stretch your vision a little more and get a few more magazines to share them with others? Put some in a plastic bag in your handbag and take them wherever you go. Put them in the waiting rooms if you're going to a doctor or dentist or hairdresser or hospital room. And take them out at most restaurants and just supermarkets. They have the restroom, and there's a little baby changing table. And you can pull it down and pop in an Above Rubies waiting for the next mother who comes. Let's take out the message. Let's be bold to take it out, and don't differentiate who you give it to. Sometimes you think, well, I could give it to some like-minded friends. Oh, I know this homeschooling mother. She would love it. Of course she'll love it. But don't differentiate. Give it to whoever you come across, because let the work of differentiating be the Holy Spirit's work. You don't know who God will change. You will be amazed. God does things beyond what we could ever think. And often the most unlikely person, God can turn around and change their lives. I've just heard so many testimonies of the most unlikely people. Oh, many times at our Above Rubies retreats, I look at these beautiful mothers and I see this beautiful mother with all her children, And she just looks as though she's just lived in this heavenly life. And then she gets up and gives her testimony. And I'm nearly fainting on the floor because she's lived this most terrible life. And what she has been through, you could hardly believe. And yet God has saved her and redeemed her and restored her and brought her back to his glorious ways. It's just amazing. So just let the Holy Spirit do the work and you just sow the seed and give out the magazine. Okay, how's our time going? 30 minutes. Okay. Time to be rounding up. All right, so we're talking about being bold. Yes, now another way you can get the message out, ladies, is to do it on your social media, on your Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Now, I believe that social media can be such a waste of time. And I am amazed how many young mothers with little children around them still have time to do social media. Or they don't have time to get into the Word, but they still have time for social media. And a lot of it's just a waste of time and junk. But you can use it for good. And if you are on Facebook or you're on Instagram or you're on Twitter, use it for the glory of God. Be bold to proclaim his truth, his ways. Be bold to expose evil when you come across it. Be a voice. You as a mother in your home, you can be a voice to hundreds as you send it out on your social media. So use it wisely. You can go to my Above Rubies Facebook and my Above Rubies Instagram, and you can take those words and you can share them. Send them out to others. Don't just leave them there. Just keep spreading the word. We've got to get this word out to mothers, to encourage women to come back to God's plan, back to building their marriages and back to embracing their families and their home and building godly strong homes. And so use my posts and pictures to send out to your friends. Write your own and send them out. Just don't waste time on social media, but use it for the glory of God. Now, last year, we had some pretty amazing movies. Did you go to see Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer? That was the most powerful and amazing movie to expose abortion. Oh my, it was done so incredibly. It doesn't show you graphic pictures of aborted babies, but it is done through the court trial in such a way that the message comes across. Now, this movie, you may have missed it, but it's now out on DVD. I would please encourage you to get it. You can go to the internet and order it. Just put in Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. Get it. Not only watch it yourself, just invite friends in to watch it with you. Invite neighbors in to watch it with you. Share it with others. Use it as a tool to get this message out. It was very sad that although the first weekend this movie came out, it went up to the top 10 in the nation, still movie theaters would not continue playing it. The message was too powerful. And so we now that the DVD is out, we have a responsibility to get this message out. So be bold. Come on now, precious ladies. I want you to order that movie and use it to really speak into people's lives all around your circle of friends and enemies and whoever you want to get it out to. Another one is A Death of a Nation. That was directed by Dinesh D'Souza, and it's out on DVD now too. So powerful. Oh, this exposes what's really happening in our nation, and you really need to get it. It's a documentary, but very powerful, fast-paced action documentary, and your young people must see it. Your young people, if you have teens, and they must see Gosnell, they must see Death of a Nation, they're important movies for them to see. And I'd encourage you to get them watch them, show them to your young people, get your young people to invite their friends in to watch them, and really get the message out. There's another couple of DVDs too. They have been around for quite a long time now, but they are still good if you have never seen them. One is Indoctrination. Maybe you need to be writing these down if you have time to run and get a pen and paper. Okay, don't forget, first one was Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. The other was Death of a Nation, directed by Dinesh D'Souza. And then there's Indoctrination. That's an expose of the public education system, which is very powerful and worth seeing if you never got to see it. And the other is Agenda, Grinding America Down. That's a very good DVD too. So get these tools and use them. Amen? Well, we're going to carry on next week. Dear Father, I thank you for this opportunity to open up your precious word. Thank you for showing us that you do not want us to be normal, but above the normal. Help us, O God, to shine brightly, to speak boldly, to, O God, just be the people you want us to be in this hour, proclaiming your truth and revealing you to not only our children and our family, but to all those we come in contact with. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.